Live from Utrecht, this is the fan with George Nedo.
Hello.
George, you're back.
I am.
You made it back?
Yes.
Today we're going to discuss block times.
Oh yeah.
Block times.
And the time warp attack.
Time warp attack. And also, yeah, so today we're going to do it slightly different, I think. Well, we kind of did this in the first episode or not. I don't remember.
Yeah, in the first episode we did two different topics.
Yeah, so you're gonna explain one topic to me, sort of, and then I'm gonna explain one topic to you, sort of.
That sounds about right.
That was sort of our original format, and then we pivoted away from that. And now, for this episode, we're gonna do a special where we pivot back.
Or maybe it's new normal.
Or maybe.
Never know.
You don't like making promises about the future, do you, Shores?
Why would I do that? I like to make promises about the past.
So block time, but that's the topic. We do have a main topic. The main topic is block times and difficulty adjustment stuff.
Yep.
So yes, you're gonna explain the time warp attack to me and a potential fix to that, and then I'm going to explain the Bcash, Bitcoin Cash block difficulty wars that are going on a little bit. I haven't done sort of the extensive research, which I sometimes do, where I sort of dive into this stuff for like a week. But I've spent some time where I can explain what they're arguing about this time.
Okay. Well,
but let's start with your part. You're first going to explain to me, what is a time warp attack? Do you think it's necessary to get into the very basics even before we get that?
Or maybe we can start with the basics and then try to get there.
Okay, so let's go.
Some people may have noticed that, you know, every 10 minutes there's a block.
And more or less.
Yeah. There's even people who say, oh, we should just use, you know, blocks as a source of time and not worry about UTC. And then the first thing I need to tell them is that actually there is a rule in the consensus code that says a new block may not be more than 2 hours in the future, according to your computer, plus some, like, correction based on the computers in the network that you ask what time they think it is.
Right.
And so, no, UTC is very much the boss. However,
Bitcoin is actually using UTC itself, so we can't replace UTC with Bitcoin.
No, and UTC is actually pretty decent. I mean, it's very well defined, and if you don't like it for whatever reason, as long as you appreciate the definition of a second, then you can just correct whatever UTC is. Like, if the government tells you UTC is something different now, then, you know, I'm sure you can reprogram your... But nobody will do that because it's baked into every single piece of software and every single piece of hardware on the planet.
Yeah, well, I can foresee it becoming a problem if we go interplanetary. Because at that point, you know, it's kind of very much biased towards Earth to use UTC, isn't it, Shores?
Well, the bigger problem is when you go interplanetary is where's the hash power? If all the hash power is near the sun...
Also very biased.
It's going to cause problems because you can do, like, eclipse attacks and stuff.
Yeah. That's what we'll discuss in another episode.
Yes,
maybe.
The intergalactic timekeeping stuff. I mean,
For now. So, yeah, block times, there's a block about every 10 minutes, and it's based on you... About every 10 minutes, right?
Correct.
We need to clarify that. It's found on average once in 10 minutes, or were you going to get there on
the
next?
Yeah, it's like a... I think it's a Poisson distribution, so it's like radioactive decay. So you get one particle or one block or maybe two blocks in a row and then nothing for a while and then, you know, a block. And so there's a lot of randomness in it. But the goal is that because there's a certain underlying rate, namely the hash power, you have a certain expectation of when these blocks are going to come, and that should be once every 10 minutes. And if you have enough blocks, you can determine the average. It's not a fat tilt thing. So that's very nice. So basically, what happens is, in the beginning, there was one CPU, or whatever Satoshi was running, and it was producing blocks, you know, once every 10 minutes. But the problem is, what if you, or probably less often, but what if you start adding more computing power to the network, then, well, the blocks start coming in faster because of the way the blocks are worked. Let's not explain that in too much detail, but the more hash power you have, the faster the blocks will come in.
Mm.
So there's a way to deal with that, which is that every 2 weeks or so, the equivalent of blocks of 2 weeks, not actually 2 weeks, you check how many minutes or how many seconds pass between the first block of that period and the last block of that period.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just divide that by the time, and then you know, okay, this is going too fast or it's going too slow. If it's going too fast, you make it a little bit more difficult to produce blocks, and if it's going too slow, you make it a little bit easier to produce blocks.
Yeah, so if it happens 10% too slow, then the difficulty should adjust by 10%.
Yes.
In order for, you know, the expected next, 2016 blocks,
mm-hmm.
to actually be found within the 2 weeks as planned. Like, should be 2 weeks for 2016 blocks.
Exactly. And the way, so the details kind of matter here. You take, for a period of 2016 blocks, you take the last block and you take the first block. And you check the times between those two. That's the only two things you check. And it's kind of weird, because you might expect, why wouldn't you, you know, compare the last block of every period? That's because Satoshi produced many off-by-one errors, and I'm sure there was a reason for it, but probably not. And this is one of them. So it's comparing the last block of the period and the first block of the period.
That's what makes it a off-by-one error?
Yes.
That it's the first block and the last block, as opposed to just the last block each time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Or the first block each time. No, the last block each time. That would make sense. And you can
use... Yeah, just at least one block per period. But now it's... Yeah, okay, I get why that's one way-off error. Yeah.
Yep.
I never thought about this, but that makes total sense.
There's many of those. There are many constants in the Bitcoin Core soft code that are like... Or in the Bitcoin Core software that are like 101 or...
So, and this one off-by-one error, and we're not going to dwell on this because it's not the topic of the podcast, but does it have any sort of effect on Bitcoin that's...
Yes, actually, but we'll talk about that all the way at the end.
Okay.
I think it's nice to explain that it's not exactly 10 minutes.
Okay.
Because of that. But it's not a big enough deal that's not really a problem.
It's not a problem that people feel needs fixing.
No. But there is a problem that people, at least some people, think probably should be fixed.
Okay, yes.
This
is the time warp attack.
Exactly. So.
The time warp attack.
Yeah.
There we go.
So what you can do is... Miners can just kind of arbitrarily put in the time. Like, their mining equipment, if it's very nice, it'll put in the exact time in the block that it believes is the case. But there could be incentives to game this time.
Yeah, because miners can just choose which time they put in the block.
Pretty much.
It's limited. Like, if it's out of bounds too much, then the network will say that's out of bounds too much. That's not correct. But loosely speaking, miners... They can always lie by like a minute or whatever. So we've
already discussed one boundary. They cannot put anything in more than 2 hours in the future, or a little bit more than 2 hours.
For example, yes.
That's one thing they can't lie about. But in terms of the past, there's another rule, namely that you look at the previous 11 blocks and you take the median time of that, and it has to be at least 1 second more. And to roughly say what that means is roughly every block has to be 1 second later than the previous block. But it's not exactly the neighboring blocks. It's just the 11 blocks before it. So every block...
Okay, so you look at the previous 11 blocks, and then you take the median of that. So that's the sixth block.
It's not necessarily the sixth block. If every block is 1 second after the other, then it's the sixth block. But the blocks don't have to be in order of time either. So for example, you could have one block that's 1 second. So block one could be at second one,
mm-hmm.
and then let's say the first second of the day, 1 second after midnight. Then the second block would be 2 seconds after midnight. The third could be 3 seconds after midnight, etc. Then the median would be six, right? If you're at block 12 and you look at the previous 11,
okay.
Then the median is six. But if the last block... it could be one second after, 2 seconds after, and then again 1 second after, and 2 seconds after, and 1 second after, and then 10 seconds after, and then the median would be something different. So it's not necessarily the middle value.
Okay, and then this 12th block needs to be later than the median.
Yeah, 1 second later than the median.
At least 1 second later. Yeah. Yes, okay.
Right. So what you can do as a miner is you could say, I'm just going to pretend that I started mining at midnight, and then 1 second after, 2 seconds after, etc.
Well, to be clear, in this context, we're talking about many miners basically coordinating this attack, right? Like, as a single miner, you can't get very far, but it's kind of like a 51% attack where a lot of miners, and I don't know if in this context it needs to be 51% exactly, But at least a lot of miners need to coordinate to make this happen, right?
Yeah, the math gets complicated, or at least I don't know it, when it's not the whole majority. But for this illustration, we're just going to pretend that 100% of the miners are going to play this game.
Right. All miners are trying to game the system here.
Yeah.
Yes.
And, you know, at some point, the nodes will reject the chain, but what we're about to discuss would not be rejected by nodes, at least not without an intervention.
Right, exactly. That's why the attack could potentially work. Nodes would accept this, yes.
Yeah, and of course, if you have 51%, then you can just reorg everything out that doesn't perform the attack, right? So that's why 51%.
Yeah, okay, sure.
But, so what you do is, the first block is 1 second after midnight, the second block is 2 seconds after midnight, etc., etc.
Yeah, so they're not really mined then. That's the time that all these miners are putting into the blocks. Yes, right. Go on.
And then the very last block in the difficulty adjustment period would be, you would think, oh, so they'll take 2016 seconds after midnight. But no, they will take the actual time, plus 2 hours, but right. It doesn't really matter.
So the first 2015 blocks that are mined within the difficulty period, no matter when they were mined, no matter how fast they were mined, they're all, the miners lie and they say they were all mined 1 second after the other. So the first 2015 blocks were mined in the first 2015 seconds after midnight.
In other words, in half an hour, basically.
Is that half an hour?
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you looked at the chain afterwards and you would not look at your log files or anything like that, you would just see 2015 blocks mined in a, you know, 30 or 40 minute period. And then you would see one block that was just mined now. So
yes, and then the 2016 block was almost 2 weeks later, so that it looks like there were 2015 blocks in 2015 seconds. Then there was almost 2 weeks of nothing, and then there was the last block.
Right.
And that's so what it looks like.
Now the difficult, and so this took exactly 2 weeks, just to make it easier. And so your difficulty adjustment, would have no effect. Right, you think, okay, nothing, no problem. I look at the last block, I look at the first block. There's 2 weeks between them, so all is good. We continue.
Nothing changes. Difficulty stays the same.
But now the new period, these evil miners, they continue with their earlier 1 second increment. So they go back in time 2 weeks or almost 2 weeks.
Right.
And they start adding seconds again.
And the first block they mine is then the 2016 seconds after midnight or whatever.
And there's a little bit of
one after 2017, 2018 seconds. We just go on the original streak.
Pretty much, yes. I think there's some adjustment you need to make for the, you know, the extreme value in there, but it's small.
Yes, and this would be accepted by nodes. This would be accepted by the protocol because of what we just discussed about it needs to be the median, or I'm not sure if I totally understood that part, George, but so I assume that's correct.
The median is like the middle value. So it's not the middle block. It's like if you take the blocks and their timestamps and you order the timestamps from low to high, then it's the one in the middle.
Sure.
So if you have timestamps from 2 weeks ago, 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 et cetera, now, well, you order them by time. You take the middle one 2 weeks ago.
Yes, sure.
So it's like, okay, no problem.
Yeah.
So you just keep doing that. And now at the end of the difficulty period, we've passed about, fake time has passed about 1 hour and 10 minutes. But the new block comes in and you don't lie about the time. Now the difference between the last block of this period and the first block of this period is
4 weeks.
Yes.
Yes, because the first block, as we just said, was on 2nd, 2016. And then the last block was mined on the real time. And since it wasn't really mined on 2nd, 2016, that was a lie that was accepted by the network. And now the last real block was mined at the real time. So now it's 4 weeks.
Yep.
So what happens?
So now the difficulty algorithm says, hey, wait a minute. It's taking a month, you know, this entire series of blocks. Let me reduce the difficulty. And so the difficulty goes down. I think it can go down by 25% or something.
It can go down like... And
Four x.
I think so. Yeah.
Okay, so then I would just drop 2x.
Yes, I think so. Yes. Yeah.
And so the next time you keep repeating this little trick, and the difficulty starts dropping quite fast, and at some point you can mine.
You can just keep repeating this trick.
Yeah, you just keep repeating it, and at some point you're mining at one block every second, and then you can no longer speed it up because 1 second was the minimum.
Right.
So this is bad, because you could create a lot of blocks.
Right. Well, so to be clear, the reason miners would potentially want to perform this attack in theory at least, is because this allows them to mine way more Bitcoins than their hash power would actually allow them to mine. And
yeah.
In this case, they're coordinating and, you know, they can sell the Bitcoin. So it's profitable for them to be able to mine way more Bitcoins with their hash power, right?
Yes, exactly. Assuming the price doesn't drop and all that sort of problematic game theory. But yeah, so this is not optimal. And in fact, I think in the middle of 2018, this time warp attack was used as part of a proposal, like not a serious proposal, I think, more of just a thought experiment of how you could do scaling.
Right. It was part of a scaling proposal, I think, by Mark Friedenbach.
Yeah, and I think the idea would be you create some sort of parallel sidechains-ish that all have their own rules, and then you commit to them in the main blockchain. Or you put all the transactions of them. I think you put all the transactions in the main blockchain. So you can just, you know, if you speed up the blockchain by 600x, essentially, then I guess you have 600 megabyte blocks.
Or right.
2400 megabyte blocks.
So it kind of went from a very theoretical attack to something that became in the realm of something people were thinking could be used.
Yeah, and I think it was also considered briefly in the SegWit 2x time period, because one of the questions was, if you do a hard fork between, like, you have the 1x chain and the 2x chain, essentially that's one way you could see it, then wouldn't it be handy if you could time warp attack the 1x chain? Because then there would not be two chains, there would just be one, because the other one would be just insane. But
Wouldn't you just 51% attack it and make sure no transactions are mined? That would be a lot easier, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I forgot what the role was. I think the time warp was discussed there, but you're right. It wouldn't, in this case, it wouldn't matter. You would speed it up, but you wouldn't stop it.
Yeah.
So I'm not exactly sure what was going on there.
Yeah. Anyway, so
I guess you could run it into the 2038 bug.
Yeah, you could speed that one up.
No, you wouldn't, right? Because the timestamp 2038, you wouldn't reach it because you're just adding seconds. You would actually.
Oh, is that an actual timestamp bug?
I believe, like, the problem
based
is that
on UTC.
I think the problem is that the timestamp is not enough bits, and it's just going to run out.
Oh, really?
In 2038, but if you use the time warp attack, it'll never be 2038.
Right.
So you can keep going until the year 3000. So I guess maybe that could be a way to avoid having to do a hard fork in 2038, just pretend time is not moving anymore.
Yeah.
But this all sounds horrible. So how do we fix this this time warp attack?
Yeah, so there's a fix for it.
Yeah, and this was proposed by, this attack has been known since 2012 or something. It's not new.
It's an old attack, sure, yes. It's something people have known about for years, and no one really worried about it because it's so theoretical and unlikely to actually happen. But yeah, so now, partly because of this proposal, probably it's sort of researched as something developers were starting to think about, like, maybe this is something we should fix. That's what happened.
Yeah, it's been on those, like, we should probably deal with this.
Yeah, one of these lists.
Yeah. So Johnson Lau proposed that you can add a constraint for the first block of every new difficulty adjustment period, just the first block. And he said you basically constrain the time. So instead of, you know, going 2 weeks back in time, what this attack would do, you would say, no, you can't do that. The first block can only go back whatever amount of time. And he said,
first is the last block of the previous period.
No, the first block of the new period.
Yeah, first is the last block of the previous period.
It can only go
back in time, say,
right,
half an hour or whatever it is.
Yeah, and he said, like, at least a day, or at most a day would be enough. So if you allow it to only go back by a day, then the attack, you know, in order for you to do an attack, you would need 51% of the hash power for 24 hours. And if you have 51% attack for 24 hours, you can already reorg out the Coinbase rewards, which are frozen for 100 blocks.
Mm-hmm.
So you can create an absolutely enormous mess for anyone who is spending those Coinbase rewards. So basically the idea was, like, well, that number one day, that constraint is strong enough to, like, if you do this attack, you're going to cause damage anyway.
Hmm.
Blue Matt implemented this fix. And
Matt Corello, yeah.
Yeah, Matt Corello. And he picked 600 seconds, namely 10 minutes, which is the shortest period.
Because so you can only mine a block, or the time you put in can only be 10 minutes prior to the last block of the previous period.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the reason for the 6 and a second is because there is some mining hardware that messes with the timestamp for finding a unique solution. So it's grinding the timestamp.
Mm.
And it grinds it by a maximum of 600 seconds back in the past. Which is...
Mm.
So in order to keep, you know, not to brick that type of hardware, you add the constraint for 600 seconds, which is plenty small enough, because we just discussed anything less than a day is
right. Enough. Oh, that's interesting. Okay, so the reason he went for a lot smaller time frame is to not break existing hardware.
Well, he could have gone for zero. That would have been the smallest time frame. You could just say it cannot be in the past.
Yeah.
Compared to the last block. But by making it 600 seconds, it basically doesn't break any hardware.
Yeah.
So that's good. And then you could say, well, that's still within margin, because you could make it 1 day, which is like a much larger margin,
mm-hmm.
which is still ridiculous to go back 1 day in time.
Yeah.
But that would be enough to thwart the attack.
Yeah.
So, and this was actually...
So even going back 10 minutes is ridiculous, but that way you don't
really
break hardware.
If you assume there's some deviation in clocks... not everybody uses an atomic clock, so being a clock drifting for an hour or so, I mean, that would be bad. But a clock drifting for a few minutes, and there's network time, so maybe you produce a block and you send it over, and I don't know.
Fair enough.
But you have to inspect the... And the other thing is you have to inspect the previous block
mm-hmm.
when you receive it in order to mine on it, and how much effort do you want to put into studying that block super carefully and not... messing up. It's probably nice to have some margin there.
Hmm.
You don't have to know the exact second of the block.
Fair enough. Well, and this would obviously... This could be done as a soft fork.
Yeah, in fact, it was part of a proposed soft fork. I mean, the soft fork is still proposed. It's called BIP-XXX, the Great Consensus Cleanup.
Mm-hmm.
And it contains a couple of small fixes, including this one.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, there was a lot of debate about some of the other aspects of that soft fork. And it kind of ground to a halt. So, you know, the proposal is still there. I don't think anybody objected to this time warp fix, but it's not enough to do soft fork just for this fix.
Right. But this was also not one of the controversial parts of this.
No.
What do we call it? Like collection of soft forks? Bundle?
The Great Consensus Cleanup is what Matt Carollo called
it. Yeah, well, it's like a bundle, right?
Yeah, it was a bundle of little annoying things that should be fixed. The other one was the... Minimum size of a transaction should be 64 bytes
mm-hmm.
so that it cannot be confused for a hash of a transaction.
Right.
So I guess 65.
There was, I think, some undoing of an opcode that no one uses.
Yeah, that was a problem.
But that was sort of the controversial one.
That's a problem because, as we discussed in earlier episodes, there are hashed scripts out there.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know what's behind the hash, and you could accidentally confiscate somebody's coins. Even though there's like no sane way you could... think of that anybody would use it, that's a kind of a difficult territory.
It's still precedence that's... I tend to agree with that. That's maybe not a precedent we should be setting.
Yeah, and there were ways around that too. So anyway, this time warp fix has an interesting property, namely that partially because of this off-by-one problem we talked about
mm-hmm.
in the number of blocks that you compare,
mm-hmm.
But also some fancy math, the expected block time is not exactly 10 minutes, but it is 10 minutes and 6 seconds.
Right now?
Sorry, it's 10 minutes and 0.6 seconds.
Right now?
Yes.
Okay. So it's less than... It's more than nothing, but less than a second off from what we should expect.
Exactly. It is a little bit over half a second off. And if with the soft fork, if you do a time warp attack, you can actually... slightly speed up the blockchain to where it is exactly 600 seconds.
so we can still attack the network to become...
Correct.
Correct.
Yeah. So that's nice. And if you want to understand this math, I do not understand this math, you have to Google the following 6 words in exactly the right order. Bitcoin, inverse, Erlang, distribution, SIPA, Twitter.
Nice.
And you'll get to SIPA's Peter Weiler.
So that was Peter Weiler's. He did the math too.
He did a Twitter quiz where he said, "What's the expected time? Given this and this and this," and then everybody would have it wrong, and he would explain, "Oh, you got to take this distribution." But he used some keywords that are not ideal because Erlang is also a programming language, so it's just very annoying if you Google Bitcoin Erlang. It's like
right.
You get some other tools and
right. All right. Okay. So that's the software. That's the time warp attack, and that's how we fix it potentially.
Yeah. And now, how did we get to this topic of time warp attacks?
Why did we get to this topic?
Yeah. Why were we talking about block times in general?
Is this the bridge you're trying to build for me?
No, this is the bridge we actually had in the preparation. We started about the other topic.
You're right, but I guess that's right. Yeah. This is why I suggested this topic, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So there's this Bcache. Drama going on again. New drama. I personally love... I kind of like drama, especially if it's happening there, over there.
Yeah, can you specify which version of Bitcoin Cash? Because they split into ABC and SV?
Basically the ABC version is the one that that in the end got the name Bitcoin Cash. And then the other one is just called Bitcoin SV these days. Yeah, I like once in a while they have this sort of, like we had one sort of, Bitcoin sort of had this one civil war with them, and then we kind of tried to explain to them, like...
If you fork once, you will fork again.
The importance of social scalability and protocol immutability and these kinds of things, like we tried to explain it, they wouldn't listen. And now we're seeing it play out where they're just having another war every 6 months over a new protocol upgrade. And every 6 months there's a threat of a split and new coins. And it happened once and now it might happen again. And so for me, it's like how not to do Bitcoin. And they're doing it over there in the wrong way. And I kind of, it's enjoyable in a way.
It's useful. So shameless plug for a
project. It's useful as well. Yes. Yeah. It's like we can sort of learn from it if you... In their defense, once in a while, there's something actually interesting going on there. I like their, what was that called? They had this privacy technology at one point.
Yeah, it was a mixing, mixing with unequal amounts.
Knapsack. No, it was, anyways, once in a while, something actually interesting will happen there. But this is more like fun.
Yeah. The shameless plug is sometimes they fork, and I work on a project called forkmonitor.info.
Right.
And, basically, it's good because I need to test how the site works when a fork occurs, and it just doesn't happen with Bitcoin. So, yeah.
Yeah, so you can train your site once in a while.
Yeah, you can do it with testnet, but testnet is horrible.
So, yeah, it might happen again. Okay, so I've got to tell you the prehistory here first to sort of get to where... And by the way, I haven't... I think I already mentioned this, right? I haven't studied the new war in depth. Like, I sort of understand it a little bit, but I haven't spent a week researching every argument or every person that's involved, but...
No undercover actions.
Yeah, I haven't gotten to what the Illuminati's point of view is here, and the Bilderberg, and how they're fighting with the lizards.
We're not that far from Bilderberg Hotel, right?
Oh yeah, it's probably pretty close. You're making us suspect. I'm already very suspect in their eyes.
They always forget to invite us. So.
Okay. Excuse me. Here's the thing. At one point, Bitcoin Cash, they forked off, right? So they had the exact Bitcoin protocol with the change of the block size. Like, I don't know if there was any other changes. They had the fork protection thing, I guess.
Yeah, they had replay protection.
Replay protection, I guess. But in general, it was the same thing.
They yanked SegWit out. That was the main change.
Yes. Actually, I'm already starting this wrong, but let's...
Oh, no. They did more. So
yeah,
they
did more, and that's sort of the point.
They removed SegWit, the soft fork aspect of it, but they did adopt the signature hashing algorithm.
They kept some of the
They
stuff.
Kept some of the good stuff.
Yes.
They removed some of the good stuff. Don't tell
RBTC this, but...
I think they know.
Oh, all right. Well, here's the thing. If you...
Greg Maxwell is on there, so...
Oh, yeah. So but if he explains it to them, they'll just think he's lying, so that doesn't...
Okay.
They'll just believe the opposite more overall. Here's the thing. We're going to get to the point of the block difficulty thing. If you split off as a minority chain with the same hash power, there's this interesting dynamic where for simplicity's sake, we're going to assume, you know, miners are there to be profitable. They want to mine on the most profitable chain. And let's assume away some details that don't really matter for the general dynamic, like, you know, switching a chain might actually cost a little bit. But forget about these things. Yeah. Just in general, there's this general dynamic. And it means that miners will switch to the most profitable chain. Okay, now, if Okay, this means the coins on both chains have their own price. Now, let's assume that the Bcash coin is worth 10 times less than Bitcoin. It's less at this point, but let's assume 10 because it's easy. Then it means that the difficulty needs to be, and we're assuming same number of coins mined, and like these are minor assumptions.
Yeah.
Then the difficulty must be at least 10 times as low for miners to actually want to mine on the other coin, right?
Right.
Because you that know way how they're much investing less hash power and all of that, and they're getting less reward. But then, does that make sense?
Yeah, you basically want to know how many hashes you need to produce for one, you know, to earn it back.
Yeah, exactly. And one important thing to note here is that it doesn't, at that point, because if we're assuming difficulty adjustment of 2 weeks, then it doesn't matter how many other miners are actually on that chain. If there are lots of other miners on that chain, it just means everyone's finding blocks faster until the next difficulty. Only then will it adjust, right?
Yeah.
So here's what happens if at any point this minority chain becomes more profitable. That means the difficulty is lower than this 10x price difference. Then all of the miners will jump on the minority chain, mine blocks very fast. Then the difficulty adjustment algorithm will kick in after whatever it is, maybe 2 weeks in this case, 1.4 days, or anyways, fast, too fast. So then there's a huge readjustment. The price didn't change of the coin very much, so there's a huge readjustment in difficulty. So at this point, it's not more profitable to mine anymore. So at this point, all of the rational miners will go back to the main chain. So the main chain lost some hash power, but after, you know, less than 2 days, they'll jump back. Now they're all on the main chain. On the main chain, they keep mining. Not much will actually happen there. And then after, then when the main chain is about to adjust it, a readjusted difficulty, not much will happen there, while the minority chain is still cranked up too high.
Yeah.
And because there are no blocks being mined on the minority chain, it just stalls, and it stalls forever.
Right, and the stalling happened even in the beginning, right? So the second you split, if you have only 1/10 of the hash power, then it's going to take not 2 weeks before the next difficulty adjustment.
But forever.
But, well, 20.
Well, forever. If no rational miner mines on your chain, then it will never readjust.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, because you will never get a block. Nobody wants to mine there.
Yeah, exactly. So the minority chain will just stall. And this is something that happened in the past, like, or at least I think Namecoin had this, and that's why they went for merge mining at some point. Like, it was a known problem. So this is the problem. If you have a minority chain and a majority chain with the same hash power and the same difficulty algorithm and all that, then minority chain will inevitably stall forever, assuming miners are rational and these minor assumptions we made.
And yeah, so, and I guess the only way to overcome that other than changing the rules would be fees, because at some point, there could be so many fees in the
fair.
Mempool.
Yes,
that it
also
would
something
be
I kind of assumed away there. But yeah, there could be some fee dynamic. But, you know, we're talking about Bitcoin Cash here, where they really, 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 really dislike fees.
Mm-hmm.
So that's also unlikely to happen. So it's you know, just going
to
stall.
Yeah, so it's good to realize, I guess, I didn't really think about it that way either, that if your value is 1/10, it's not that you get 1/10 of the hash power. You get nothing.
You get nothing. Exactly. Yeah. So that's the exact problem right there. That was the exact problem from the start. Now,
they anticipated.
They anticipated it at least. Well, I don't think they anticipated this actually, George.
Well, they anticipated that the hash power would be lower, which is why they immediately put in something called the emergency difficulty adjustment.
Exactly. That's what they anticipated. But I think the reason they put that in was because the initial split. I think that's as far as they thought. The initial split would happen, and if at that point they would have a minority, then blocks would come in very slow or whatever. I think that's the part they anticipated. They didn't plan it out to the full extent.
Mm-hmm.
So they had this emergency adjustment algorithm, and I have the details here of what it did exactly. It was if there was within 12 hours fewer than 6 blocks, then difficulty would adjust downward by 20% for the next block.
Yeah.
Okay. And I think this could be done with a couple of blocks in a row. So then you had 12 hours of nothing and then a couple of blocks that did 20% each. And then, you know, it could be pretty fast.
Yeah. And then it was sort of an investment to mine it, right? So you'd have to get a few blocks in order for the, to yes. kick in this algorithm. So you'd mine those at a loss. But then, you know, it was a sort of free-for-all.
Yeah, so there was this thing where they kind of figured out... I think there were a couple of problems with this. But what happened in reality, at least, is that it became like they started to milk the algorithm miners. So they had this thing where, indeed, a couple of miners would act irrationally, or we can maybe assume that miners were coordinating and sort of, you know, dividing the spoils in a way. Like,
or they just realized that even if other people mine along, it's still profitable to make
yes, also, yeah, that's also possible. So they would do nothing for 12 hours. So every once in a while, the Bcash chain would, in fact, stall for 12 hours. And then there were some irrational, in quote marks, miners that would mine a bunch of blocks, dropping the difficulty down very much. And then it was cheaper, then it was more profitable again than Bitcoin. And then all miners would jump on it and mine, you know, 2016 blocks very fast, driving the difficulty up again, making it less profitable again, and another 12 hours of stalling. So that's what happens for a while. So I don't know, I think it lasted for weeks at least.
Probably, yeah. It was a yo-yo effect.
Yeah, it was this effect. Overall, blocks were mined much faster because of this. Like, if you look at the total, so they were really... They were getting ahead of the Bitcoin chain by quite a bit because they were milking the algorithm so fast for a couple of weeks.
And they still are. Like, if you look at the Bitcoin Cash chain, the block height, it's much higher than the Bitcoin Core.
Yes, well, we're getting there, Josh. We're getting there. That's what this war is about.
Cool.
Okay, so they did this for a while. Okay, to quickly point this out, there were a couple of other solutions they could have chosen. One is what Namecoin did. They could have merged mined with Bitcoin, but, you know, that's obviously off the table for them, or at least I think that would almost be like surrendering for them, I think, right? You can merge mine with the enemy.
That's also a bunch of complexity.
I guess, but it's at least reliable, I think.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Not if you think Bitcoin is doomed.
I've never studied it in depth, but I think it's probably reliable.
If your theory is that Bitcoin is doomed, you don't want to merge mine with it.
Sure, yeah. Also very true. Yeah. If you're not trusting Bitcoin at all, then you don't want to rely on it.
So that's not so much surrender as suicide from their point of view.
If you look at it from that perspective, yes. Okay, then there's changing the difficulty... changing the hashing algorithm itself, you know, which is why Charlie Lee, he was very aware of these problems when he launched Litecoin. That's why he specifically used scripts. Like, he knew he had to use a different hashing algorithm.
Yeah.
So they could do that. But I guess for Bitcoin cashiers, that would be like sacrilegious. Like, that would, you can't. Then they would have to concede they're not Bitcoin anymore. Plus, I guess Bitmain wouldn't be able to use their machines. And I don't know.
Plus, you enter a whole new cat and mouse game because. Look, as soon as you, like, I guess the best comparison I'd like to make is radio frequencies. So you want to have one radio station on a frequency, and if you're the minority radio station on the same frequency, you're just going to get blasted out of the ether.
Yeah, true. A very good point. And there are only so much hashing algorithms.
You could come up with a new one, but the problem is if some other coin decides to also use your algorithm,
and become bigger,
that's a problem. Or you can have a big miner that decides to 51 or 99% attack you because they have the first ASIC. So it's not a fun place to be. I mean, that's what the games that all these coins are playing with their unique algorithms and trying to stay ahead of ASICs or not. It's not a good place to be. So no. I can see why they would stick to SHA-256, but it's just that's also a really bad idea. So
So here's what they did, and this is the point where I sort of started losing interest in Bitcoin. Like, the early weeks were interesting, but after that I didn't keep up as closely. But I think there was another, this was maybe one of their first civil wars, was about changing the, this was probably their first civil war, I think. This was about changing the difficulty algorithm into something that couldn't be milked.
Well, they changed it again, that's for sure. I don't think that was a civil war.
I think it was like a minor civil war. I think, for example, Bitcoin Classic, which was still a thing then, and they were doing, you know, they sort of switched to Bitcoin Cash, and it was maintained by Tom Zender at that point.
Well, there was Bitcoin Classic. Yeah. And that was the original, basically the original Bitcoin Cash.
Oh yes, that's the one that can still be milked.
They were running that.
Yes.
But I thought that was a joke. But
yeah, it was a thing for a little while. Yeah, Bitcoin Classic. I don't know if it still exists.
Well, that's the original Bitcoin Cash.
Yes, that's the original Bitcoin Cash. You're right. That's the real Bitcoin Cash. But so Amaury, here's what I recall, but this is years ago, obviously. But I think Amaury came up with a solution for a better difficulty algorithm.
I think they had a whole discussion about different options, and they voted or decided on which one.
Yeah, back then, yes. Yeah. But I think, for example, this was the reason for Tom Zender and Bitcoin Classic to actually drop out. So that was, I think, the first implementation that dropped out. More dropped out later, right? I think.
I don't know which... you mean client implementations?
Yeah, Bitcoin Classic.
I didn't know that existed.
This was started by like the Tomims and Oliver Janssens, and I think at some point Jeff Garzik sort of got involved. This was...
So that's separate from Bitcoin Unlimited then?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Okay. That was Bitcoin XT, Bitcoin Classic, and Bitcoin Unlimited. These were the three main sort of fork implementations.
Okay.
So, yeah, and Bitcoin Classic and Bitcoin Unlimited and then Bitcoin ABC sort of forms Bitcoin Cash, right? But Bitcoin Classic then drops out pretty soon, and I think that was because of the difficulty algorithm.
The second difficulty adjustment algorithm.
Yes, to fix this milking problem.
Right.
And that one was pushed through, I think, by Amaury, who was the lead developer of Bitcoin ABC, and it was sort of, he has this general attitude of it's my way or the highway. We're just going to do this. Mm-hmm. And then I think Tom Zender dropped out.
Okay.
I think that's how the history of Bitcoin Cash sort of played out.
Well, you're the historian.
Yeah, Bitcoin Cash is a hobby project, yours. okay, so what they did was faster difficulty adjustment.
Okay.
So not every 2016 blocks, but I don't know, faster.
Because the emergency part was already fast, but they made the whole thing fast.
Like they take the average of the last 260 blocks instead of the last 266 is the number I have in my head. I don't know if it's correct. Maybe it's the last 10, whatever. It's like a much smaller number of blocks, and then they adjust the difficulty.
It also
adjusts every block. It's a rolling thing. Mm. So every block, they look at the last X amount, and then every block, it's just...
And I think when it forked... It wasn't immediately clear when it was an actual fork because the rules were somewhat compatible. So, you know, in the beginning, it might look like a soft fork and then suddenly it looks like a hard fork.
I have not heard of that.
That gets really messy. So it's nice when you do a hard fork that there is like one block that is clearly valid for one side, clearly invalid for the other side.
Right, yeah, that's the way
you
want
to do
hard forks.
I don't think that was the case here. It was like after a couple of blocks, the difficulty adjustments were no longer compatible and then it split off. I'm not sure. Maybe they also did some replay stuff.
I don't know about that. Maybe, yeah. Okay, so anyways, this is what they implemented then, Bitcoin Cash. So they went with this new difficulty adjustment algorithm. Now, one thing to point out maybe that I haven't studied this one in depth, but it's interesting to point out that if your difficulty adjustment algorithm is too fast, if it adjusts too fast, that has problems as well, of course, right? I don't have to explain this to you, but I'll explain it to the listeners.
Okay.
So the problem is if you partition a part of the network as an attack, like somehow you're able to isolate some nodes, then if the difficulty adjusts only every 2016 minutes, it's pretty hard to fool these nodes if you don't also have massive hash power.
Yep.
If you have much less hash power and you partition some nodes, then it's actually easier to fool them because their nodes will adjust faster and then after a while will look to them as if blocks are being mined like normal, even though you only had whatever 5% of hash power, right?
Yeah.
So it's easy. So this slow difficulty adjustment algorithm that Bitcoin has actually serves as another protective layer.
Yeah.
This is sort of a protective layer that was at least diminished or stripped down to some extent for Bitcoin Cash.
Well, the initial emergency adjustment already had a vulnerability in that sense, right? Because after 12 hours, you could lower the difficulty. So that means that if you isolate a node for more than 12 hours, you can start feeding it a cheap chain.
Right.
Right. And so that could be a...
Yeah. Yes, yes. Yep. You mean the original Bitcoin Cash.
Same. Yeah, the original Bitcoin Cash emergency difficulty adjustment.
That had all sorts of problems. There are probably more problems that we haven't even discussed here. But
yeah. I mean, once you have a coin that's such a small percentage of the majority, you know, just the 51% attack risk is already a problem that's fundamental enough. But then if you add, you know, Eclipse attacks so that you can isolate nodes and annoy them, and then this unstable difficulty adjustment.
Yeah. Okay, so anyways, Bitcoin Cash chose this faster difficulty adjustment thing that was proposed by Bitcoin ABC, created by Amaury. Again, this is where it gets fuzzy for me, but apparently there was some problem with it.
Mm-hmm.
To be clear, I think most of the time it worked fine. So most of the time, blocks were found even more reliably every 10 minutes than on Bitcoin, which would make sense if there's faster adjustments. But I think at some point they discovered a problem with it. I don't know what the problem was, but there was a problem with it. Now we're getting to this latest stage of the war. A bunch of developers, Bitcoin Cash developers and Bitcoin Cash people, figured out a new way to do difficulty adjustments, and it's called Assert.
With
A-S-E-R-T. I don't know what it stands for, but they figured out a new way to do it.
Okay.
Bitcoin ABC, however, they recently announced something called Grassberg. So, everyone wants to fix the difficulty algorithm, I think. Maybe not everyone. There's probably a faction that just doesn't even want to fix it. I don't know. But I think most Bitcoin cashers want to adjust it, fix it in some way. And now there's sort of two camps, which is Assert and Grassberg.
Okay.
Now, here's what Grassberg does. I think this is the main controversial part about it. What Grassberg does is it... until... For the next 7 years,
mm-hmm.
For until April 2027. Oh, I'll first explain why it does this. It doesn't only look at the last whatever number of blocks when it calculates the next difficulty for the next block. That's not the only thing it does. It also looks at when the Genesis block was mined,
okay,
and then makes an estimation of when the new block should be mined based on all of the 10 minutes since the Genesis block.
Okay.
Right? So if you just make a calendar until eternity, then you can sort of map out when each block should officially have been mined.
Yeah.
And so that weighs in the new difficulty algorithm.
So they want to not just compensate for their own little jump that they made after the fork?
That's what they want to compensate for.
But because Bitcoin itself also drifted compared to the original.
Exactly, yeah. So I think they want to compensate even more than Bitcoin itself would, yes.
Right, so there's some sort of Satoshi's vision, but it's not Satoshi's vision.
Well, it's not in the white paper, at least, George. I can tell you that much. So they want to correct Bitcoin's historic drift. That's how they call it.
Yeah.
And that means, for example, that until the way it's implemented is that until for the next 7 years, blocks will be found slower, 12.5% slower. Each block will be mined 12.5% slower.
Yep.
So that comes with all sorts of complications for the next 7 years. You know, it means confirmations will be slower.
Yep.
Deposits to exchanges will be slower. Miners will earn less because, you know, they're earning a block reward every 10 minutes right now, and that will be slower. So miners are going to be earning less.
Mm-hmm.
There will be less hash power security in that sense. Like all of the stuff that usually happens when blocks come in slower will just be the new normal for
right.
at least 7 years. So ABC
up.
Has sort of decided that this is what it's going to be. Other Bitcoin cashers, including, I think, even some people that were very friendly with Bitcoin ABC before, like, you know, I already mentioned Jonathan Tooman, who originally started Bitcoin Classic back in the day. Anyways, he's very critical of this. He's sort of the main guy advocating for Assert.
Mm-hmm.
And now this, so yeah, and the deadline is soon. The deadline for implementing this or not, or activating it or not, is in like 10 days from now. So within 10 days,
because this is for the November fork, I guess.
What's that?
I think this is for their November fork.
Yes, but it would be locked in by August or something.
Yeah,
like
they want to deploy it not crazy late. But, okay, that's fascinating. But do they realize this is a block size decrease?
It's a block size decrease as well. Yeah. So I mean,
produces throughput.
As far as I sort of follow Bitcoin Cash, I think Omori is kind of on the, you know, he's the new Bitcoin Core. He's sort of on the new conservative side. Bitcoin ABC is the new, you know, they're the new Blockstream spies. They're sent by Bilderberg now. They're the ones sort of frustrating. What is it called? Digital cash for the world. That's what they're frustrating.
Right, because there was a split which was over the Gigamax.
Yeah. Right? So yeah, and then he was on the conservative side even then. So
defined as 128, I think.
What's that?
What's the size now? 128 megs or maybe a little bit less?
On the Gigamax?
On the ABC side. Maybe 32? 32. Okay.
I think.
Could be 32, yeah. And I think Bitcoin SV jumped to 128 and then 2 Gigamax.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, something like that. Yeah, so I guess Omori is already on the conservative side. So this is effectively a block size decrease. You're right. I don't know if they realize this. It's a throughput decrease anyway.
Yeah, it means you can fit less transactions. I think in practice, the effect is going to be quite small. If you have 4 kilobyte blocks, it'll still fit. But yeah, you get longer confirmation times, you get less capacity. But you could introduce Lightning to get around that that speed yes, problem. And maybe you want to add SegWit, you know, while you're at it.
Yeah, so this is the extent of the discussion. I understand it. The way it looks now is that it's gonna cause another split, but there have been some historic civil wars there where, you know, last minute there was some sort of compromise, and then there were others where there wasn't and they split.
Right, because the previous war was about a built-in developer award.
Yeah, there was a civil war about that as well.
That was cancelled.
Was it cancelled completely? I guess you follow it even closer than I do then.
I think it was cancelled.
I guess it was cancelled because
I was kind of looking forward to seeing the splits that would come out of that one, because it was quite complicated with multiple developers that could like be individually activated as soft forks. But I think if you upgraded your node right before the split, you might not be aware of all the different developers that were activated, and it was kind of a mess.
Yeah.
So hopefully they didn't deploy that.
Anyways, I think this part is clear to you, right? I've explained the civil war.
What
to
was
you.
The reason they want to fix the timestamp?
Correct historic drift. They think it's a problem apparently. I'm not aware of all
it's
the arguments in favor
keeps...
of it, or it seems like a small issue to fight a war over, but
it's not something that would keep me awake.
Me neither, but I think that's the idea. That's the argument as far as I've read it. They want to fix historic drift.
I guess maybe if we try to steel man it, I guess the argument is there was some sort of problem that you said. There was some sort of problem that had to be fixed anyway. And then there's just two visions of how you can fix it.
Yeah, exactly. I think most people agree there is a problem that would need to be fixed. But I'm not sure what that problem is.
And I guess if you set the pace in stone with reference to the Genesis block, the nice thing is that you can make sure that no fancy tricks with time happens.
I mean, there are some benefits. If you time lock coins, then you have a much more exact idea of when the coins are going to be released.
Well, no, because that's what end lock time with just time.
I know, sure. So I'm just trying to steal one in here.
Okay,
and the counter argument is that actually if you did already time lock coins, then now with this historic drift correction, it's going to be unlocked much later than you expected. So there's that's sort of the flip side.
I'm happy to hear they're having fun. I suggest we end this episode.
Yeah, it's been enough.
Thank you for listening to the Van Weerdem Shores NATO podcast.
There you go.